guys, the holiday challenge is on at JCPenney. Shop now and get her all the gifts she'll love, like select fine jewelry for up to 60% off, plus an extra 25% off with your JCPenney credit card and coupon. And get $10 off when you spend $25 or more with coupon on select items throughout the store and at jcp.com. Get everything on her list for less than you think. Hurry in now, JCPenney. Coupon valid 12/14 to 12/16. Offers represent savings on regular or original prices. Credit offer subject to credit approval. Other exclusions may apply. See store or jcp.com for details.
AutoZone presents Max Performance. AutoZone knows better engine performance means taking it to the max. Max fuel economy, max engine life, and yeah, max savings. And it all starts with the right fuel treatment. That's why right now you can save on STP gas treatment and get two for $5. So visit your local AutoZone. With over 5,000 locations, the right supplies and good advice are just around the corner. Let's get you what you need. Must buy two. Restrictions and details in store.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
I'm Ari Wolf with NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network. Aaron Rodgers practiced Wednesday for the first time since being medically cleared to play. The Packers star missed the past seven games with a broken collarbone, but feels he can play like his old all-pro self despite the long layoff.
I feel confident I'll be able to go out there and play the way I've always played, but yeah, I've been off for seven games and been out for a while. So it's going to take getting out there, getting that first pass in, that first hit, and then I'll probably settle in.
In other injury news, Bills QB Tyrod Taylor practiced Wednesday after missing last week's game with a knee injury. Barring any setbacks, he'll start this Sunday. Vikings starters Xavier Rhodes, Kyle Rudolph, and Riley Reiff all missed practice with injuries Wednesday, as did Redskins corner Josh Norman. And Colts starters Ryan Kelly and Dante Moncrief will both be out Thursday night when the Colts host the Broncos live on NFL Network. Our coverage starts at 6 p.m. Eastern. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
I'm Grant Langston, the new CEO of eHarmony. If you're online dating and looking for love, you're probably tired of the lazy text messages, dead-end conversations, and matches that never turn into dates. If that's you, it's time to try eHarmony. Dating apps of one kind or another have been around a long time, but at the end of the day, they're just virtual bars where no one ever buys you a drink. eHarmony's different. We're built to help you have a better relationship, and we do that with 17 years of research and experience. eHarmony's gotten really good at bringing compatible people together. People that want the same things you do and are ready for a real relationship. Hey, it can be fun to play around with online dating apps, but when you're ready to fall in love with someone and have a meaningful relationship, there's one app that's built to bring you real love, eHarmony. Go to eHarmony.com today and get a month free when you buy a three-month plan. Use code DATE. eHarmony.com, use code DATE.
5:04, welcome in, welcome back. Hour number two of the Todd Brommelkamp Show, along with Alex Kuhn and Kyle Mann. We're here to get you to 7 o'clock tonight. Make sure you're stopping by KGYMRadio.com and voting in the Emil's Hideaway poll question. It has to do with which matchup at the Hy-Vee Classic is more intriguing this weekend, Iowa and Drake, or you and I taking on Iowa State. Emil's Hideaway is on First Avenue here in Cedar Rapids. Stop on in and tell them that you heard about him on KGYM, and if you're lucky, Jamie won't charge you double when you mention her. Leave me out of it. Don't mention
Todd.
Stop by there
today.
Don't mention Todd. Is that where you?
They didn't charge me double.
They didn't charge you double. All right.
No discount or anything.
We ate in different locations today. Yesterday, Alex and I showed up at the same place, which was interesting because it was all the way on the other side of town. The last person I'd expect to see would be Alex standing there. And we gave each other the Spider-Man look. If you've spent any time on the internet, you know the Spider-Man meme. 319-366-1600. That's the Hurting and Stalker text line. You're also going to want to keep that number handy because sometime in the next 25 minutes, executive decision, sometime in the next 25 minutes, we're going to send you to RCC Volume 14 at the U.S. Cellular Center later this month. 10 MMA fights on one card, two tickets. They can be yours just for listening to the next 24 minutes of Radio Bliss. 319-366-1600. Again, the Hurting and Stalker text line. Winter meetings. Baseball's winter meetings in Orlando, Florida, officially wrapped up today. For the most part, they were over last night. A couple minor deals going down today. And as I think you're contractually obligated to do in this business, you have to discuss whether teams were quote-unquote winners or quote-unquote losers, at the winter meetings, and I don't think there's any better way to do this than with a completely contrived segment. Let's break out the thing that I hate more than anything else, including myself in life, the wheel.
The wheel of desperation?
The wheel of desperation. Let's give that. If anybody's desperate, it is this week, finals week, nothing going on, nothing to talk about. Thank God for baseball's winter meetings and the return of Aaron Rodgers. Give that puppy a spin. The wheel. Well, if you hate it, why are you using the wheel? Well, it's a means to an end. The Chicago White Sox. Winners or losers at the winter meetings, Alex Kuhn?
They put up a pretty interesting offer for Manny Machado. And I did that catch you by surprise, Todd?
Because completely.
I don't understand why you would stockpile all of this talent and go into full rebuild mode and then offer up a prospect package that reportedly did not have Michael Kopech, their top pitching prospect, in it. They say, reports say that he's untouchable, but still, offering up a what it would take to get Manny Machado for 1 year?
For 1 year. And that led a lot of people to say, well, they're going to try to flip him for more prospects down the road. That's a dangerous, dangerous game to play, especially if something were to happen to Machado. Or maybe Rick Hahn and the Brain Trust on the south side of Chicago think that they would have a shot at signing him to a long-term deal. But outside of them being linked to Manny Machado, I don't think they did anything, right?
No.
We are a long way removed from Roland Hemond and Bill Veeck hanging out in the lobby of the hotel with a sign that says open for business, as they did many. That was one of the best hot stove banquets the Cedar Rapids Colonels have ever done, in my opinion. They brought Roland Hemond in, and the stories that he told, just absolutely fantastic. Guy's been in baseball forever, longtime front office executive, knows a lot about the minor leagues. Great, great night. This year's Colonel's Hot Stove Banquet's going to be nice, too. I mentioned we were going to bring that up. January 17th, tickets on sale at colonels.com. KGYM proud to be a media sponsor for that. Current Twins and former Colonel's players Mitch Garver and Zach Granite are headlining the Twins Winter Caravan this year, along with radio broadcaster Chris Atterbury. Okay, spin it again. The Blue Jays, Alex Kuhn, the Blue Jays. I'm going to say that they were losers at the winter meetings because they didn't do anything. They sort of played footsie with teams involving Josh Donaldson. They watched the Yankees and the Red Sox both get better. And then today, the reports on the MLB Network were that the Blue Jays are leaning toward hanging on to Josh Donaldson because they believe they're going to be competitive in 2018. Losers. You're not beating the Yankees, not after the Giancarlo Stanton acquisition. You're not going to be better than the Red Sox after what they've been able to do. You're not going to be competitive. Move him. Trade him.
Is their window completely shut?
It's slightly more ajar than the Orioles. But I've got to call the Blue Jays losers here for not moving Josh Donaldson at the meetings and then coming out and saying, no, we're going to be competitive. No, you're not.
I know the St. Louis Cardinals were interested in Josh Donaldson. There were other teams interested as well, and apparently some of them were still pushing the Blue Jays to try to get a deal done. But I tend to agree. When you have a guy like that, his value is very high for you to bring back a prospect return that can help your team maybe this year by getting a guy who's major league ready and another minor upper level minor league prospect, and they didn't do that. So I don't think that they're going to be competitive in the AL East exactly for the reasons you said. The Red Sox aren't going anywhere, and it's very clear that the New York Yankees are now probably the class of that division. And because of that, I think that the other two teams are going to go back to how they were for many years in my upbringing, the Blue Jays and the Orioles kind of on the back burner.
Spin it. Yeah. your St. Louis Cardinals, winners or losers? I want so desperately to call the Cardinals losers just so that I can get under the skin of Cardinals fans, and I can't do it. I think it's very clear that they were among the teams that left Orlando in a better position than when they got there.
They got better. You pick up Marcell Ozuna, and that's the pop in the middle of the lineup, or at least potentially the beginning of what you need to put together a lineup that can contend with the Chicago Cubs. Now, they're not there yet. They still need bullpen help. They still need possibly a starter and, I think, another big bat in the middle of that lineup. But when you get a guy with 37 home runs last year, 144 RBIs with RBI, with two more years of team control, and you don't give up one of your top five prospects in return, I think you have to call it a win.
I really like what the Cardinals did. It pains me to say that as a Cubs fan, but they're sending smoke signals to the Cubs that they're serious about competing. I think they failed miserably last offseason, and I think most of their fans would admit that. And Fowler didn't do anything, Cecil didn't do anything for them, and they just got older, and they watched the Cubs win the division again. This is the start, and I still think that they're going to go out and get either Evan Longoria from the Rays, Donaldson. Look, the Blue Jays are going to come to their senses at some point. But they're going to go out and get at least one corner out, a corner infielder, another power bat, and they're probably going to address pitching as well, plus with what they've got in-house to deal with. Alex Reyes is coming back from Tommy John surgery and should be making his season debut in 2018 at some point in time. They've got some other pitching prospects that could either be relievers or the Michael Wacha route. Adam Wainwright came up as a reliever and then made his way into the starting rotation. Hard not to look at what the Cardinals did at the winter meetings and say that they won. And an extremely classy move on their part. Classy, a word completely overused.
Definitely.
Especially in sports today. But Stephen Piscotty, the former first-round draft pick, didn't have a great sophomore season, didn't live up to expectations. They trade him to the Oakland Athletics so that he can go back home to Northern California. His mom is suffering from, I believe it's, is it Lou Gehrig's disease?
Yes, ALS.
ALS, yep, Lou Gehrig's disease, and diagnosed with that. And so the Cardinals, they could have sent him anywhere. They worked very hard with the A's to work out a trade so that he can be close to his mom and his family. So kudos to that organization. Spin the damn wheel. Did you hear him? He said nice things about the Cardinals for once. Okay. Can we just go ahead and skip this one? The Yankees. I think it's safe to say that the Yankees were winners at the winter meetings. They came away with another 50 home run bat in Giancarlo Stanton.
I'm going to go ahead and say they're losing. No. They didn't have to give away a top 10 prospect to get him. They just had to pay market value for the best power hitter in baseball, and he's going to be in the middle of the lineup with the other best power hitter in baseball, the second best power hitter in baseball. This is scary if you're anybody else, not only in the AL East, but in Major League Baseball.
We're the Blue Jays, and we're going to compete.
No, you're not. You are absolutely not going to compete because the New York Yankees and the Boston Red Sox are head and shoulders above you, and it looks like the Yankees are head and shoulders above anybody in that division now that they have Giancarlo Stanton in the middle of that lineup. So I hope that the next one isn't the clear loser in all of this. Should we spin the wheel to find out?
Why not? Alex, the Minnesota Twins.
Okay.
Fernando Rodney.
I don't buy the fact that they're going to be able to sign Yu Darvish. I'm not quite sure that they're going to be in on a lot of these big-time free agents, but they did address a need that was created by the vacated role that where they traded Brandon Kinsler to the Washington Nationals. at the trade deadline last year. So I think adding a guy like Fernando Rodney is a good piece to the puzzle. I'll be interested to see what they do from here on out. I guess right now they're winners, but we'll wait and see.
Wait a minute. 0261 on the text line says, you hate the wheel more than anything. Is that saying Todd's dating corner could return if you're doing the wheel? No, I take that back. I fully embrace the wheel. We're talking about the Twins. Yeah, I think Darvish is a little bit of a pipe dream there. No offense. But in Rodney, they get a guy with experience at the back end of the bullpen. Granted, his numbers outside of the saves category were not gaudy last year. A bit of a gross earned run average, if you ask me. But they need somebody in that ninth inning role. It keeps Trevor Hildenberger in a setup role. It keeps some of the other young players, JT Shagwa, some of these guys that we've seen come through Cedar Rapids in the last couple of years that are going to be competing for bullpen jobs where they need to be and not pitching above their heads or above their pay grades. I'll say that the Twins came away. You can't call them losers at the winter meetings. I think they came away. And this is really interesting. So many people were talking about this today that I decided I had to find if there was a reason why Fernando Rodney wears his hat askew, because it drives people nuts.
Somebody just texted in, I wish he would wear his cap straight.
About Fernando Rodney?
Yes.
This is it, and it doesn't really bother me.
Me neither. I have no issues with it.
I found the story. I find it to be credible, and it actually sort of warms my heart, because I think a lot of us out there, and I say a lot of us, when I talk generally to the audience, I feel like I'm talking to men who are listening to the program, because I know the demographics and the numbers for the program. We have women who listen, but it's predominantly men. Most of us, I think, look up to our fathers. And
correct.
Ever since you were like a little kid, like he's the first superhero in your life. And I know the struggle of the Dominican baseball players. Been to the Dominican. I've known many Dominican baseball players, many people who have great relationships with players that have come from the Dominican. It is a third world country, and baseball is a life-changing sport for the young men on the island. Many, many, many people in the Dominican make their living as fishermen, as did Fernando Rodney's father. And Fernando Rodney, when he was a child, recalls seeing his father come back off the fishing boat at the end of the day, at the end of his work day, and his father would have his hat sort of askew. And because he's been working his rear end off on a fishing boat all day to try to feed his family in a third world country. And so it started as a way to honor his father, which I think is really cool. And so that's why Fernando Rodney wears his cap sort of off-center, sort of. Now, if you go, I think it was when he was with the Tigers, there's a great SB Nation article with photos of the cap going further and further and further off to the side, but that's neither here nor there. Pretty cool that he does it to honor his dad. Let's spin the wheel here and see if we can come up with somebody other than the Marlins. Can we all just agree the Marlins are losers?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, hell, we weren't going to do this segment without talking about the Cubs, were we? The Chicago Cubs, Alex, clear winners of the winter meetings, crown them 2018 World Series champions, don't even play the season.
I wouldn't say winners or losers. I think they still have a little bit of work to do as well. They've addressed some areas, one area of need, and that's the bullpen. And it seems to be shaping up to the point where if Wade Davis re-signs, they're going to have one of the better bullpens in the National League. I don't know a whole lot about him, but just seeing the numbers and hearing Ed Creech from MLB Trade Rumors join us on Tuesday. I wasn't sure about the Chatwood signing for $10 million a year. So they've made some moves here. You're used to seeing them going out and signing big-time free agents. They haven't made one of those big splash moves yet, but another instance where they're trying to bolster something that was a weakness for them in the playoffs last year and during the regular season, that was the bullpen.
Cubs win, Cubs win, Cubs win. End of segment. Okay, I woke up this morning, grabbed my phone. Is Machado gone? What happened overnight? Steve Cishek. Okay, good. And I think about this, and you got Carl Edwards Jr., who looks like he and Pedro Strop will be seventh-inning guys, and then maybe Steve Cishek is the eighth-inning guy. He's got closing experience. And then Brandon Morrow, as of right now, looks to be the guy that they signed to be the closer. However, as a number of my Kool-Aid-drinking Cubs fans friends will... they'll be very quick to tell. No, Wade Davis is coming back. Wade Davis is coming back. I'm not putting my eggs into the Wade Davis is coming back. I don't think anything is guaranteed. I think the Cubs, if the numbers are right, would like to bring Davis back. And if they bring Davis back and he pitches the ninth, and then you've got Morrow and Cishek as your primary setup guys, and Strop and Edwards are in the mix too, then that's the bullpen that you need. Then you look and say, well, they signed Chatwood before the winter meetings. They signed Drew Smyly, who's a recovery project. They didn't get a larger deal done that really, I think, would cause people's jaw to drop. But I think you say they walked away from the meetings winners. Now, I know they're talking to the Cleveland Indians about Danny Salazar. I think people have this pie-in-the-sky notion that Cleveland would put Jason Kipnis in the deal as a salary dump to get him off the books. And then if that were the case, I think you're clearly looking at Ian Happ maybe going back to the Indians as part of a deal. We'll see. I still think the rotation needs to be addressed, and I still think there's probably one spot in the lineup that could bear some addressing. The front office isn't done yet, but pretty decent winter meetings for the Chicago Cubs. I think we've got one more spin left in us here. Everybody's a winner except for the Blue Jays and of course the Marlins. We'll end on an interesting one here. The Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. They win, right?
I think they're winners.
They got Shohei Ohtani and his injured arm.
And Ian Kinsler.
They got an aging Ian Kinsler, right?
Yes.
For next to nothing, a couple minor league prospects. Nothing earth-shattering.
This is a franchise that we were talking about not so long ago and asking the question, should they trade Mike Trout? Should they try to find something in return and go into full-fledged rebuild mode? And all of a sudden, they pushed their way into the playoff discussion last year, and they got better already in the offseason this year by bringing in an international star, or at least what is perceived to be a guy on the international market that's going to be a star in Shohei Ohtani. And like you said, Ian Kinsler comes over for next to nothing. So this is a team that's going to try, that thinks they can contend in 2018, and they might be able to.
Hot take. The Astros are still the better team in the AL West. I'm glad you brought up Shohei Ohtani, because when we come back, if you play fantasy baseball on Yahoo Sports, they have figured out how they are going to handle Shohei Ohtani in the 2018 fantasy baseball season. And let's just say it may not sit well with folks. Back with more of the Todd Bromwell Camp Show after this.
Easy as apple pie. Easy as falling off a log. Easy as 1, 2, 3. That's how easy it is to earn the power rate in ATM fee refunds with Power Checking at Midwest One Bank. 9 out of 10 new users of Power Checking said they'd recommend it because it's easy to qualify and easy to use. Don't settle for free checking when you can earn the power rate with Power Checking at Midwest One. Open your account at MidwestOne.com today. Qualifications apply. Maximum $15 in ATM fee refunds per qualification cycle. Member FDIC.
Cedar Rapids Iowa City HelpWanted.com salutes the employee of the month, the one employee you can't live without. The others, let's just call them Dave.
Dave, why have you been shredding for hours?
The boss said we should cut costs, Mr. Employee of the Month.
How does this cut costs?
These are the expense reports for the whole year.
You shredded them all?
Thanks to me, our expenses this year are zero.
If you don't mind hiring Daves, go to the national job boards. They may be free, but trust us, they'll cost you. We make it easy to post a job, and it's local, so you won't get spammed by faraway job seekers. Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
526, and if you play fantasy baseball at Yahoo Sports in the 2018 baseball season, you could trade Shohei Ohtani for Shohei Ohtani.
I want to see that deal go down.
Because Yahoo has decided that the best way to handle Shohei Ohtani in fantasy baseball is to have two Shohei Ohtanis, one pitcher and one position player.
This is just Yahoo.
And I'll ask Tristan about this tonight when he joins us, ESPN.com's Tristan Cockcroft at 6:05. Yahoo is going to make you draft him at two positions. If you want his pitching stats, you draft him as a pitcher. And then if he's still there as a hitter, you can draft him as a hitter. But he's going to have to take up two spots on your roster. You're not going to be able to game the system by drafting him and having a super utility player. I don't know if that's the best way to go about it or not. I think it's a little unfair to make somebody draft a guy twice. But
I don't know. This seems like the best idea for the situation, because either way, you're going to have somebody complaining. In this case, you really can't complain. You could draft them both if you want.
Nobody would have drafted Brooks Kieschnick twice. It's because nobody
Micah
would have,
Owings?
Nobody would have drafted Owings? Him once in the first place. Micah Owings, fantastic Owings. Hitting pitcher. You want to talk about Kieschnick. Pitchers that could hit. It was his birthday yesterday, and I didn't mention anything, well, partly because I know he doesn't listen to the program. But Fergie Jenkins, his birthday yesterday. Fergie was a heck of a hitter. Carlos Zambrano swings a mean stick. You didn't get his stats in fantasy, and you ain't getting Shohei Ohtani's. Let's send it over to Kyle. He looks like a man who wants to draft Shohei Ohtani in fantasy baseball this year. Midwest One Big Board update. Midwest One, over 40 locations across the corridor for your banking needs.
Head Iowa baseball coach Rick Heller received his well-deserved contract extension today, keeping him in Iowa City until at least 2024. In Heller's 4 years at the school, the Hawkeyes have had their best four-year stretch in program history with 140 total wins, four consecutive postseason appearances, two NCAA regional appearances, and the first Big Ten tournament title in school history. Iowa football got a commitment from a talented receiver last night. Calvin Lockett is a speedy 6'2", three-star recruit from Florida, according to 24/7 Sports, and he committed to the Hawkeyes over offers from South and Central Florida, Virginia Tech, and Wisconsin, among others. Two current Hawkeyes were named Academic All-Americans. Anthony Nelson was named to the first team with his 3.89 GPA as an accounting major, while Parker Hesse made the second team with a 3.72 in interdepartmental studies. Unfortunate news for Iowa play-by-play voice Gary Dolphin. He's going to have to miss this weekend's Hy-Vee Classic after falling on the ice at his home. That happened yesterday, and he's going to undergo surgery on a torn LCL. 24/7 Sports announced its honors for position coaches of the year, and Iowa State's Louis Ianni was named the running back's coach of the year. His main disciple, David Montgomery, broke Pro Football Focus's record for tackles eluded, was also 10th in the country in yards after contact, and graded as the second-best pass-blocking back in the nation. Tonight after the show, we're going to have the Colts hosting the Broncos on Thursday Night Football, and that's going to be on all three KGYM frequencies.
We got something coming up next, right?
I lost my notes. Would you?
Oh, shoot. Okay, yeah. Means I got to scribble some things down here in the next 20 seconds. Would you? A Thursday staple on the way. Tristan Cockcroft answering your fantasy football questions tonight at 6:05. And a whole lot more. KGYMradio.com. Vote in our poll question today, brought to you by our friends at Emil's Hideaway. And 319-366-1600, that's the number to call to win those tickets to the U.S. Cellular Center and the MMA that I said I was going to give away in the night. I said I was going to do it, and now we missed the spot at the bottom of the hour, and I blew everything, but I need to keep my word. So caller number six is going to take home the MMA tickets, 319-366-1600. Let's see how badly I screwed things up.
We're going to head to a bottom of the hour sports beat, which is brought to you by CarePro Health Services. Connect with the people and answers you need at their next CPAP BiPAP clinic. Get details at careprohealthservices.com.
Looking to improve your family's wellness? CarePro is ready to help. They know it can be a bit baffling figuring out what vitamins you and your family need. So they'll help you find the right balance of those important nutrients. This time of year, in particular, it's important to pay attention to vitamin D because your body doesn't get enough sunlight to create it naturally. So supplementing is important. CarePro Pharmacies in Cedar Rapids, Mount Vernon, North Liberty, and Tipton, helping you connect with people and answers you need.
ESPN Radio Sports Beat. From Charlotte, Here's Dari Noka.
So I was in Orlando yesterday afternoon, strolling around a well-known theme park with my family, and I see an alert cross my phone. What I see is this. Paul George will receive a standing ovation from Pacers fans in return to Indianapolis. I thought to myself, really? The way he left, giving them zero leverage and acting as though he couldn't bolt fast enough, they'll cheer him? I thought it was odd, but oh well. All right, kids, where are we going now? Then I get back to the hotel, turn on ESPN, and hear nothing but boos every time George touches the basketball. Now, that made more sense, but now I'm trying to figure out why I would have seen that they would ever cheer him. So I went back, looked at the alerts, and saw that's what Lance Stevenson predicted. Man, was he wrong. Way wrong. And why would they cheer the man? And who cares anyways? That's what makes being a fan so great. When it comes to pros, certainly more than college athletics, you can voice your feelings any way you want. Nothing's hurting Paul George. He could feed the entire city of Indianapolis with one paycheck, so nobody's feeling sorry for Paul George. And he bailed on your city, so boo Paul George. In 60 seconds, the frost factor is real.
Sometimes the best seats in the house are above it. In college football, that's the Goodyear blimp. And for more than 60 years, we've seen what it takes to be worthy. It takes toughness, dedication, and perseverance. Because seasons aren't measured by wins and losses, but by heart. Some call it hard work, determination, or grit. We call it blimp worthy. Goodyear, official sponsor of the college football playoff.
Guys, the holiday challenge is on at JCPenney. Shop now and get her all the gifts she'll love, like select fine jewelry for up to 60% off, plus an extra 25% off with your JCPenney credit card and coupon. And get $10 off when you spend $25 or more with coupon on select items throughout the store and at jcp.com. Get everything on her list for less than you think. Hurry in now, JCPenney. Coupon valid 12/14 to 12/16. Offers represent savings on regular or original prices. Credit offer subject to credit approval. Other exclusions may apply. See store or jcp.com for details.
Scott Frost 1, Tennessee nothing. The new Nebraska head coach just beat the Vols and he hasn't coached a game. He got his first major commitment flip when on Tuesday night, quarterback Adrian Martinez decided to go to Nebraska instead of Tennessee. Why? Because Frost was that good on a home visit to Fresno. And because Frost is still planning to coach his former team, UCF, in their upcoming Peach Bowl. Martinez says that fact showed him Frost is loyal, that he wouldn't give up on his players, and that he's not selfish. Huge get for Frost and Nebraska. And by the way, I've never seen anything like this. Frost and the staff he is taking from UCF to Nebraska will coach UCF in the Sugar Bowl. That should be its own sports beat. With this ESPN Radio Sports Beat, I'm Dari Noka.
When you book your holiday travel with Priceline, you can save up to $300 on your flight. With savings like that, you'll have extra money to spend on better gifts for your nieces and nephews. That's the sound of being a caring and generous gift giver. And when you've had enough of that gift, you can also save up to 60% on hotels. For the deals you won't find anywhere else, go to Priceline.
Express deals are different. Exact airline or hotel shown only after booking.
At Helzberg Diamonds, the best gifts come with a special box. The Xbox One S. Just purchase $999 or more at Helzberg Diamonds and get an Xbox One S with 3 months of both Xbox Game Pass and Xbox Live Gold. Helzberg style, selection, and quality make it easy to find that perfect gift. And while supplies last, the incredible Xbox One S is the icing on the cake. Leave it to Helzberg Diamonds to think outside the box.
You knew the risks when you decided to drive drunk. There could be a crash. People could get hurt or killed. But that didn't stop you, did it? You knew you could get arrested. You could incur huge legal expenses. And you could possibly even lose your job. You were well aware of the consequences of driving drunk. But one thing's for sure. You were wrong when you said it was no big deal. Drive sober or get pulled over. This message brought to you by NHTSA.
Sometimes the best seats in the house are above it. In college football, that's the Goodyear blimp. And for more than 60 years, we've seen what it takes to be worthy. It takes toughness, dedication, and perseverance. Because seasons aren't measured by wins and losses, but by heart. Some call it hard work, determination, or grit. We call it blimp worthy. Goodyear, official sponsor of the college football playoff.
Welcome back in the halfway point officially. Matt in Iowa City, the winner of the MMA tickets to the U.S. Cellular Center. And that's coming up December 29th, RCC Volume 14. I understand Kyle says that Matt has a connection to one of the participants that night and had wanted to go to the event anyway. So there we go. Glad we could help out. We've got one more pair, and we'll give those tickets away sometime tomorrow on the program. Join us between 4 and 7. Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com will be along on the back end tomorrow night. We'll talk with former Hawkeye running back and current member of Washington's NFL team, LaShawn Daniels. He's going to be with us at 6 o'clock. Rick Heller, fresh off that new contract extension that he's got with the University of Iowa. The Iowa baseball coach also joining us on the program tomorrow. And there's a third guest, too, right, on the board? Am I making that up? I'm not making that up, am I?
There is not yet, but there definitely could
there
be.
There has the potential to be.
There's the potential to be. Ooh, I like that.
There's some potential.
Well, there's. I wish I could say the same thing about this next segment, but I know how it usually goes. It's Thursday.
It's now time for everyone's favorite weekly segment.
Would you rather know when you're going to die, or would you rather know how you're going to die?
But why would you even say that? For shock value?
Can you give yourself a ding?
It's as simple as a yes or no.
Of course you would. Who wouldn't?
Would you?
You know, Kyle asked me where that Jack Black quote came from, and I couldn't tell him. I don't remember where I pulled it. I just found it, and I said, that sort of sounds like something that works with the would you.
I had a question about another one of our sounders or one of the quotes. Maybe it's in our intro, but I forgot it.
You're from freaking Iowa? That's Steve Alford.
Somebody asked that on the text line yesterday.
Got to remind yourself sometimes that you're dealing with people. Well, that Alford thing was 2001, and I'm thinking that people that are in college, in high school right now, how old would they have? They would have been just wee kids when that whole fiasco went down with Steve Alford. I'm dating myself, something I did mostly throughout high school as well. First question for Would You tonight. Alex, now that Rick Heller's got his new contract, what would you do next if you were UI Athletic Director Gary Barta to make the department better? What's your next move, Gary Barta?
Can they back out of the Pinstripe Bowl? No. I know there's a segment of people out there that wish they wouldn't have gone to the Pinstripe Bowl, and that's low-hanging fruit, and I apologize for taking
it. I love that. They should have declined the invite.
Don't go to a bowl game.
Yeah, the Big Ten wouldn't allow them to do that. Not an option.
I would invest in the program. I think that that's probably the easy answer at this point. And I'm not the person that knows how the money is distributed throughout that athletic department, but it took them too long to get this done. And you bring up the feasibility study, Todd, about possibly getting a new softball facility when they really don't need one and the softball program isn't performing up to the standards that the school wants them to. And the baseball program is, and there's no feasibility study about the baseball facility, which is good, but it could really take that next step because they know now that they have the right guy at the helm. And that's so important in college baseball. And this has not been a baseball school over the years, but they have the right guy in place who has led them to the most success, some of the best seasons that they've ever had, and a guy who has coached and developed major league talent in the past at UNI and Indiana State. So invest in that baseball program. You have the guy. He wants to be here. He wants to be in Iowa, which is the biggest thing, and let that baseball program take off.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with Alex, really. They just gave Heller the extension because the baseball program deserves that. They deserve that coach. I say go ahead and put a little bit more money into their facilities. You know, I'm not a facilities expert, so I couldn't tell you exactly what they need. But you know, go ahead and build that program up. It seems like they're ready to take that baseball program seriously. So keep that ball rolling. And then also one little wild card idea I had. the Iowa program, just the department altogether, got in a little bit of legal trouble, if you guys recall, over the summer. And they've got a reserve fund that they've got to build up. And so it might not make the headlines or anything, but saving a little bit of money and rebuilding that reserve fund would pay dividends that us casual onlookers probably don't understand.
I'm glad neither one of you said bring hockey to Iowa.
77D says that invest what? The facilities are brand new. They are brand new. Yeah. The football facility is brand new. The baseball facility, I'm just talking about Dwayne Banks Field, could use a little bit of touch-up. I'm not saying that they need to have the type of facilities that the SEC does, and because it's very clear that those schools in the South are going to have advantages that schools in the North don't. But you look at some of the baseball facilities around the Big Ten, look what they did at Indiana, look what they've done at Minnesota. It's pretty impressive.
I'll go to bat for both of you here. Dwayne Banks Field is antiquated, and it may look nice to the casual observer, but there are Big Ten baseball programs that are dealing with a whole lot better setup from top to bottom than Iowa is. Meanwhile, the softball facility is 20 years old. Holy cow, let's build a new one. True story. Until they put the turf in, at Dwayne Banks Field, it was the same turf that had been there since, I think, 1978.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, they couldn't even get money to get the turf. And when Jack Dom was there, Jack, a good friend of the program, former Iowa baseball coach, had to beg and plead, turf, raised a ton of money for it. And then ultimately it gets put in. He's not there to benefit from it, but I'm just glad that Iowa is taking its baseball program seriously at this point. But for years, and granted, the team wasn't performing very well, but Iowa didn't care. Iowa didn't care that its baseball team was terrible. And that, to me, was inexcusable.
I agree. Hockey Guy says, why not hockey? And Hockey Guy,
it's a non-starter.
I would absolutely love if hockey came to Iowa, I'd be a season ticket holder. But look at the other programs in the Big Ten and the amount of hockey talent that is in the state of Iowa, and not just the hockey talent. There are very few places, the high schools, that have sanctioned hockey in this state. And you'd have to be going up against Minnesota and Wisconsin and Penn State. I don't know how that would go. They don't have a facility right now, much less the amount of players in the state to have a program.
And 7070 is going, he wants to die on that hill.
The facilities are great.
Yeah,
we know nothing.
New turf, new press box, new seats, new bullpen. Try the clubhouse facilities. Are they any better? Try some of the other facilities that big-time baseball programs
enjoy.
Yes,
go look at the ones in the rest of the Big Ten.
But hey, I'm sure a recruit will come in and say, those box seats behind home plate, those look really nice. I'm going to come in. I'm being a jerk. I'm sorry. But I know a little bit, just enough to be dangerous, about Big Ten baseball and college baseball in general. And I know that Dwayne Banks Field is antiquated and, dare I say, a really nice-looking dump.
Oh.
That's what it is. I mean, they've for years, it's the equivalent of putting a fresh coat of paint on an old house.
Oh, sorry.
Well, it looks okay.
Looks good.
I mean, it's got some fresh paint on it. They've gussied it up. They've put lipstick on a pig. But if you want to do anything, you want to build new facilities. Now, somebody on the text line mentioned the regional wrestling training facility. They are doing a feasibility study on, and I think that is the next step that Iowa is going to move forward with, expanding the wrestling facilities, which I think is a good step in trying to get Iowa wrestling back on top of that sport, even though I've gone on record as saying I don't think the Hawkeyes will ever be number one again. Just not the way that the current climate is set up. Doesn't mean that they can't position themselves to make a run at it, but those glory days of Dan Gable running off championship after championship, it's kind of Nebraska football territory. Sorry, I'm not sorry. Would you number two? Kyle, would you have come back this season if you were Aaron Rodgers, or would you have said, going to let the collarbone heal, I'll see you in 2018?
I can see this one a little bit from both ways because the Packers have looked, they've been absolutely exposed, really. With him gone, you see how much he doesn't have to work with. But with that said, that's not really different from any other year in the past. As soon as he steps back on the field, they become a contender. I mean, their record is bad right now. They're not sitting in a really ideal position, but they're not out of it. They're right in a cluster of teams for the wild card, and they've got a big game this weekend that could put them, that could help put them in a better position. I feel like if you talk to any pro athlete, you always hear it. You know, if I'm healthy enough to play, I'm going to play. There's no way you can keep me off that field. And I would have to factor in a little bit that team, you know, the offense really struggled at first, but they've done well enough to put Aaron Rodgers in a position to come back this weekend and at least make a run at the playoffs down the home stretch here. So I think the team has done well enough to deserve it. And from Aaron Rodgers' perspective as a competitor, they need him. And I would want to be out there trying to make those playoffs.
They weren't as good as the Saints, the Lions, the Ravens, or the Steelers, but they weren't as bad as, they're just a little bit better than the Browns, the Buccaneers, and the Bears. That's what the Green Bay Packers were without Aaron Rodgers. And because of that, they're 7-6, and they have a chance to get into the playoffs. And like I said earlier, when I prefaced my statement by saying, here's the deal, in kind of a condescending tone, I apologize for that, but look at the rest of the NFC. Who is going to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl? I think it's anybody's guess at this point. You're going to tell me the St. Lar- wow. Ouch. The Los Ouch. Angeles Rams are going to get to the Super Bowl? I don't think so. The Rams aren't going to get there. The Seattle Seahawks are Russell Wilson and not much else. The offensive line isn't very good. The defense is okay.
Defense but it's, is decimated.
But it's not, like Kyle said, the injuries have racked up over the years. Free agency has taken some players away. They're a shell of what they used to be. The Carolina Panthers, do you trust them? Not necessarily. I think the New Orleans Saints are a candidate. The Minnesota Vikings are very interesting because what they've done this year has been great. They're 10-3, but I just look at them and think about some of those Chicago Bears teams with Rex Grossman, some of those Chicago Bears teams with Jim Miller, who went 13-3 during the regular season and had a really good defense. And then in the playoffs, if you don't have quarterback play, I just can't trust you. So we'll see what happens there. But the Philadelphia Eagles, who I thought were the runaway favorites, we just saw what happened to them. They lost their franchise quarterback to an ACL tear. So this is absolutely wide open. And if you're telling me with Green Bay Packers getting into the playoffs, whether it's a 5 or a 6 seed, looks like it would probably be the 6 seed. If they win the rest of their games, give me Aaron Rodgers, and I like my chances.
I think, weren't you and I just talking about that yesterday with Wentz going out, the NFC's clear number one team? He you know, the Eagles aren't the contender or aren't the serious contender that they appeared to be with Wentz. Doesn't it just feel like Aaron Rodgers coming back now? The timing just feels like the Packers would make the playoffs.
And I thought that they were going to win out last year when they would they start 5-6. I thought they were going to win out last year. I think they're going to do it again this year.
Alex, I have bad news for you about the St. Louis Rams. They've moved.
Oh, I do know that. I do.
And they're
know
good
that.
Now too.
And they're good. Does that hurt?
No. I
watching
don't,
the Rams be good.
I actually enjoy my Sundays now.
Knowing that the same terrible human being is running them.
No, I enjoy my Sundays now. I actually don't really miss the NFL all that much. College football's doing it all for me.
What would you say, Alex, will be the next big move of the MLB offseason?
I think that Manny Machado is going to get traded. I don't know where he's going to go. I think that the White Sox have put in a good offer. The Cardinals have put in a good offer. And the Orioles want to move him if the price is right, if the package is right. And I think someone's going to offer up one to get the job done. I saw reports today that there's a 55% chance that the Orioles trade Manny Machado. It just seems like they're heading that direction. And teams realize that they're not desperate like the Miami, the Orioles aren't desperate like the Miami Marlins are, and they're going to get much more in return than the Marlins did for their two best players. So I think Machado's going to get traded. I look at a team like the Cardinals who didn't really have to give away any of their prospects. They gave away Sandy Alcantara, who was not a low-level prospect, but he wasn't on the top of their list as far as prize possessions where you say, that guy's untouchable. That's the all they had to give away, him and Magnera Sierra, a probable fourth outfielder when he fully develops. So they still have the prospects. They have the money. And the Chicago White Sox also are charging. And the one to look out for is the New York Yankees. I know that the figures right now don't look good for them to be able to get that deal done, but their name has been linked to Manny Machado as well.
It seems, first of all, the whole market seemed to be held up by Shohei Ohtani. I don't know if everyone was really just waiting on him the whole time, but things were slow to get started. And then once they did, it's been a lot of relievers, a lot of teams trying to address their bullpen because bullpen seems to be the most popular aspect of baseball right now. But there's still a lot of big fish out there. Manny Machado is the easiest answer because that is the guy we've been hearing about for the last 2 days. But you've still got your Jake Arrieta, you've got your Yu Darvish. Some team is going to give a lot of money to J.D. Martinez. Those are liable to happen really at any time. But with that said, it's hard to predict. The next biggest move that is easily forecastable, unfortunately, I'm going to have to agree with Alex, is Manny Machado. And I think the thing that's really interesting about that to me is that it seems like the White Sox interest to me seems strange. And I was talking to Steve Kane, our sales guy, earlier today. He says, I didn't see this myself, but he said that he saw a report that the White Sox maybe are kicking the tires on him to then flip him to the Yankees, which, if that is to be taken as true, that would have to tell you that the Orioles are telling the teams in the American League East that they're not going to trade within the division, which makes sense. But if he's not going to go to the Yankees, I don't realistically think that the White Sox would end up trading him just to flip him because they've done such a good job with their rebuild already. It would be such a lateral move. I think that that Machado saga might end up with some surprise team just popping in out of nowhere and snagging him. I think that that's the move that's easiest to see coming.
Interesting that you would both agree that Machado is going to be the next piece to fall, especially since they don't have to move him. But at least they're not hiding behind the cowardice that the Blue Jays are and not moving
We're
Josh Donaldson
win.
By saying that they're going to compete in 2018, which I think everybody knows isn't going to
I
be
think
the case.
The St. Louis Rams have a better chance of winning the division than the Toronto Blue Jays do.
Well, watch out for the Montreal Expos. Speaking of Shohei Ohtani, would you have signed him knowing that he has elbow damage and could possibly need Tommy John surgery? Now, according to the reports that came out this week, and by the way, the Major League Baseball is investigating to see if a team leaked the medical information on Ohtani to make the Angels look bad, which this will be fascinating if it's Jerry DePoto and the Mariners, because that would be my first inclination here. According to the reports, the teams knew that he had the sprained UCL ligament in his pitching elbow. But would you, knowing that he was quote-unquote damaged goods, have signed him anyway, Alex?
Yes. He didn't have to. It's not like you, in the past, were signing some of these guys for and paying millions and millions of dollars for the privilege of just talking to them. They didn't pay him all that much. And if you're going to get a talent like that and for that kind of price, I don't care if he has a torn UCL. Yes, that's going to bring the price down. He'll undergo Tommy John surgery and you won't have him for a year, but it just seems like that would be a guy that I want on my team regardless. And it's pretty clear that it didn't scare any of the teams away. So, yes, I would have.
Yeah, I think Alex hits on a couple of the biggest points there. First of all, he still garnered interest from every single team in the league. And so who are we to sit here and say that we understand his injury better than they do and that we wouldn't sign him? Of course we would. And then the other thing, it's unavoidable. It really finishes the whole conversation, is that he's so cheap anyway, it doesn't really hurt that bad if he turns out to to miss, you know, the first couple months of the year. I was just talking to Cardos about this yesterday. If he has to sit out the first couple months, basically what I just said, it's not like you're paying him a whole lot of money anyway. And even worst case scenario, this guy ends up not being that great of a pitcher after a Tommy John surgery or something. He's still supposed to be really good both ways. So worst case scenario, what if he turns into a solid left fielder? I mean, it could be worse. Of course, I would still sign him.
We didn't even get to the most important would you question, aisle or window. But you know what we need to get to? A Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, with over 40 locations across the corridor for your banking needs.
Head Iowa baseball coach Rick Heller received his well-deserved contract extension today, keeping him in Iowa City until at least 2024. In Heller's 4 years at the school, the Hawkeyes have had their best four-year stretch in program history with 140 total wins, four consecutive postseason appearances, two NCAA regional appearances, and the first Big Ten tournament title in program history. Iowa football got a commitment from a talented receiver last night. Calvin Lockett is a speedy 6'2", three-star recruit from Florida, and he committed to the Hawkeyes over offers from South and Central Florida, Virginia Tech, and Wisconsin, among others. Two current Hawkeyes were named Academic All-Americans. Anthony Nelson was named to the first team with his 3.89 GPA as an accounting major, while Parker Hesse made the second team with a 3.72 in interdepartmental studies. Unfortunate news for Iowa play-by-play voice Gary Dolphin. He's going to have to miss this weekend's Hy-Vee Classic after falling on the ice at his home. That happened yesterday, and he's going to undergo surgery on a torn LCL. 24/7 Sports announced its honors for position coaches of the year, and Iowa State's Louis Ayani was named the running backs coach of the year. His main disciple, David Montgomery, broke Pro Football Focus's record for tackles eluded, was also 10th in the country in yards after contact, and graded as the second best pass blocking back in the nation. Linebackers coach Tyson Veit was also named linebackers coach of the year by Football Scoop. Tonight after the show, we're going to have the Colts hosting the Broncos on Thursday Night Football. We'll have that on all three KGYM frequencies.
Mr. Isle Seat himself wants everybody to know there's a dirt modified and late model race in the Edward Jones Dome as we speak in St. Louis. We'll talk fantasy football with Tristan Cockcroft next.